Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Look at this verse in verse number 36 of Matthew chapter number 26. This is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says this, Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And we know that this is Jesus praying just before he is betrayed and arrested and then goes on to Calvary to be crucified. And here's what I preached on back then, going just a little bit further. Here's what he said in verse number 39, and he went a little further. And he went a little further. Look what he said prior to that. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then he goes a little bit further. Even when his soul was exceedingly sorrowful within him, even when he was at a place where he was at death, almost right here, you know what he done? He went a little further. And I want to talk to you about that thought tonight, going just a little bit further. Going just a little bit further. Father, help us tonight, and we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I believe that we can all agree, and I kind of hit this in passing this morning, but I believe that we can all agree that we could go a little bit further in the things of God. Going just a little bit further. There's times that in our life that, boy, we'll be on fire for God. We'll be excited about the things of God. And man, we'll be pursuing godliness and doing something for God wholeheartedly. And then there's times where we're just lukewarm. Now, if y'all help me, we'll get done tonight. Then there's times that we're just lukewarm, man. There's times when we don't read our Bible like we should. There's times when we don't pray like we should. There's times when we're not serving God like we should. There is times when we're lukewarm. But even if we're at a lukewarm stage, or we're at that stage in our life where we're pouring everything we can into the service of God, I believe that we could all stand to go just a little bit further in the things of God. I thought about this. What if Jesus would have quit right here? What if this had been the place that, you know, he said, well, God, I know all they're going to do is fail me. I know all they're going to do is sin and mess up. I know that's all that's going to happen. So I'm just going to stop right now. I'm going to call 10,000 angels to come get me. And I'm going back to heaven. Jesus could have done that. Jesus did not owe us anything. Amen. Jesus did not owe us going to Calvary. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, I believe I'll go just a little bit further. Going just a little bit further. I wrote three or four things down that I think we should go further in tonight. Can I give them to you? Number one, I wrote this one down. I think we should go just a little bit further in our prayer life. Just a little bit further in our prayer life. Matter of fact, if you'll read on, he goes and he does continue to pray. We can go just a little bit further in our prayer life. What did he say in 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You know what he's saying? He's saying for us to be in a spirit of prayer all the time. Pray without ceasing. I was talking to Brother David Williams today, and I was talking to him yesterday, and which we talk about every day. Yet I was talking to Brother David, and he's had a little issue come up with his job, and we was talking about that. And today I told him, I said, man, throughout the day yesterday and throughout the day today, as it's come across my mind, I've tried my best to pray for you and that God would give you wisdom and leadership on that. Pray without ceasing. Can I say something? That we don't have to stop and get down on a bended knee and close our eyes and tune everything out from around us to pray. Man, we can pray riding up the road. We can pray sitting at the house. Just pray. He went a little bit further in his prayer life. I wrote this down. It said that there is 306 verses in the Bible that has the word pray in it. And whenever you think about that, he is saying to us that prayer is important. I want to ask you this question. When you give illustrations on prayer and God answering prayers, do you have to give other people's illustrations, or can you give your own? Do you have to give somebody else's? Do you have to say, you know, the preacher stood up and said, God answered this prayer request? Or can you say, hey, I was praying about this and God answered this request for me? There's sometimes I don't share my request with everybody. Now, I understand it's okay to do that, and I do a lot of requests, but there are some requests that I don't share with everybody. You want me to tell you the reason why? Here's the reason why. I want to know that God's hearing my prayers. And when I share it with everybody, he may be hearing their prayers. But those things that I don't share with nobody else, and I go, amen, and I go to the Lord in prayer about, and I see God answer it and do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Can I say this? I'm glad that I know that he answers my prayer. I say we need to go a little bit further in our prayer life tonight. We need to grow in our praying. We need to grow in our praying. I've heard people talk about Dr. Hiles, and Dr. Hiles in the 70s and 80s built the largest Sunday school and the largest attended Sunday morning service in the world. In the world. And a matter of fact, it's amazing to hear the numbers and the thousands that came in on their bus. Let me back up. Buses, it was plural. It wasn't just one. If it was one, Brother Joe, that was a big old bus. Amen. It had a Ford motor in it to get it in. But think about this. The thousands and the people that was impacted by his life. And it's been said, I've read this, that Dr. Hiles almost every Saturday night prayed all night before he preached on Sunday. Let me tell you the reason he had the results that he had, because he was a praying man. He was a praying man. You want things to happen in your life? Pray. You want to see God do things in your life? Pray. Amen. Pray. Go a little bit further in our prayer life. Number two, I wrote this one down. I think we ought to go a little bit further, not only in our prayer life, but I think we ought to go a little bit further in the growth after we're saved. Our growth. You said, preacher, what do you mean? I'm talking about growing in the things of God. Right. I'm talking, hey, look, you ought to know more about God today than the day that you got saved. Right. Amen. You ought to know more about God today than the day that you got saved. Right. Amen. Let me say it again, because y'all are not hearing me. You should know more about God today than the day that you got saved. The growth in our salvation, man. You know, he talks about, as newborn babies desiring the sincere milk of the word. And you take that baby, and that's what they grow on initially, is the milk. But what happens over time? They begin to get some beans. Amen. And some taters. And some eggs. And some french fries. Can anybody tell it's Sunday night at the Barker House? Eggs and french fries is on the menu tonight. And they get those other things. Why? Because if all they had was milk, they would never survive. You can't live off of milk. You got to have more. And I want to say something to you tonight. Church, we should grow. There's no reason that we don't grow as a Christian today. With as many podcasts as there is, Man, and you say, I want some good ones to listen to. You let me know and I'll send you some good ones that's worth listening to. Go get Brother Rick Gravely's podcast. Isn't that right, Brother Josh? And listen to Brother Rick Gravely's podcast. There's some great podcasts. You can grow in the things of the Lord. I was thinking about this. If the truth was to be known, probably some of our young people is more knowledgeable in the Bible than some of our older people. Well, preacher, they just got a brain. They can retain it better. Well, don't. Because when it's something that you really want to know more about, you can retain it. The problem is we don't have a desire to know more about it. Yeah, man, the problem is that we don't have a desire to know more about the Word of God and the will of God and the work of God. I think we should go a little bit further in the growth after our salvation. I wrote this down, number three. Are you ready? I told you it's not alliterated. They call this a topical outline. Number three, going a little bit further, I would say this. I believe we can go a little bit further in our separation from the world. In our separation, I read some of my notes on that and I thought, man, I used to be meaner than a junkyard dog. I guess I was listening to Tony Hudson and Phil Kidd whenever I wrote this outline. Man, I got some things wrote down and I thought, I'm just not going to say that tonight. But can I say something to you? We ought to be separated from the world. We ought to be separated from the world. The Bible tells us that we should be a peculiar people. The world should see a difference in us. That don't mean that I have to walk around in a suit and tie every day for the world to see a difference in me. I do end up wearing a suit a lot of the times and a tie a lot of the times just because I try to respect the position that God's put me in. But can I say something? I can walk through the mall and see a man that don't have a suit and tie on, and I've looked at my wife before and it's been a long time since we've been to the mall. I guess since 2019 was the last time I was in the mall. I have no plans on going tomorrow either. Let me back up. I can walk through Boot Barn. I've been there since 2019. I can walk through Boot Barn and see a man, and I can look at my wife and say, you know what, that man right there is a Christian. There's something different about that man. You can see a young lady and say, matter of fact, this past week, we had loaded up the bikes and we went to Virginia. Was riding on the bike trail in Virginia. And as we was going, I never even said nothing to the girls or to Leslie, but I know that they already know exactly what I'm going to fix them to say. We passed a family on that bike trail, and I thought in my mind, right there is Christians. Those people are Christians. And can I say something? You can exercise and not be half naked. Well, I just thought I'd let y'all know that. I go to the gym and I work out and I ride a bike and I keep my clothes on while I do it. Amen. And everybody else is thankful. And if everybody else would, we'd be thankful too. Now you can say amen or oh me. Being separated from this world. I don't understand why the Christian thinks today that they've got to dress like the world, that they've got to look like the world, that they've got to smell like the world. Amen. You know what my daddy told me one time? If it looks like a duck, it waddles like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And there's a lot of people today that says they're a Christian and says that they're saved, but they walk like the world, they smell like the world, they do like the world, they look like the world. Well, they're probably part of the world. Jesus went a little further, and can I say this? I believe we ought to go a little further in our separation from the world. The world should see a difference in us. I tell you one thing that just absolutely makes me mad. I'll just say it that way. Is to see the pulpit disrespected. To see the place where God's man, hey, look, everybody has chose to be saved. Everybody has chose to serve God. But there is only an elect few that God chooses to put an anointing call on their life. And this is a sacred place. And it ought to be respected. Amen. It ought to be respected. I got Bible about standing to read. When we read our Bible, go to Nehemiah 7, 8, and 9 and see what they did. I got Bible about that pulpit right there being wood. Go to Nehemiah 7, 8, and 9 and back me up. I got Bible on it, and it ought to be respected. Hey, look, this is not a stage. It's not a place for kids to run around and jump up and down. It's a holy place. Amen. There ought to be a separation from this world. There ought to be a separation. Well, y'all want to know some more I wrote down here? Let me give you another. I don't know if y'all can handle it. Getting quiet on that one. We ought to go a little bit further. Here's another one I wrote down. We ought to go a little bit further in our giving. In our giving. You can tell I was a missionary when I wrote this, can't you? Praise God, there's going to be somebody giving some money somewhere. In our giving. I said this morning, but I want to say it again tonight. You cannot outgive the Lord. You can go to the book of Malachi, and God talks to us about giving that 10% back to Him. That 10% belongs to God. You know what that means? That means if I make $100 this week, $10 of it ought to go back to God. It's already His. You know what? God could have asked for 90% and let us keep 10. Amen. But He only asked for 10. And you say, well, preacher, that tithing was under the law. No, that tithing was before the law. You study me? Yeah. It's before the law. It's before the law. Did you know tithing is the only thing in the Bible where God said, try me, prove me, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings? Now, I want to say something to you tonight. If you are not tithing, you're missing God's best for your life. Right. Now, you need to say amen, because I'm not a preacher that preaches on tithing all the time. I don't hardly ever. I say it whenever we take the offering, hey, give good. But I know some preachers that every other service, man, they preach on giving. I don't have to, because people give pretty good around here. But can I say something to you? If you're not giving what God requires of us to give, you need to go a little further in your giving, man. You need to give it back to the Lord this week. Matter of fact, it was last week. Last week, Olivia and I was talking a little bit. And I told her, I said, hunting season's coming up, and I hadn't hunted in years till last year, and the only reason I went is because she wanted to go, and she ended up killing that big deer, and now we're going hunting, praise God. And I'd rather take her and watch her shoot than me shoot it myself. Man, I'm telling you, I was telling Brother Mark, was at the house the other day working, I was telling you, I was more tore up over watching Olivia shoot that 11-pointer last year than if I'd have shot it myself. Man, I was pumped. So we got to talking. And she said, we were talking about bow season. And I told her, I said, you know, you can shoot them with a crossbow now during bow season. That's good, isn't it, Miss Kayla? Amen. She sent me a message yesterday sitting in her deer stand with her crossbow. And I told Olivia, I said, we'll look around and we might find a good deal in one. If we do, we'll get one and we'll get her sighted in, and we'll go up on the mountain and see if you can't shoot one with a crossbow this year. And she said, okay. She said, that sounds good. I said, but now look, you need to pay for part of it. She said, well, we'll just wait till gun season. So that girl's so tight, she squeaks when she walks. I'm telling you, she is. And I told her, I said, we'll just wait and something comes along. So I called a buddy of mine that trades around all the time, Rodney. I said, hey, look, if you was to run across the crossbow, it's been a couple weeks ago. I said, let me know. Well, this past week, he said, hey, he said, I found a crossbow. And I said, all right. Matter of fact, I think it was last Sunday he got to tell me about it and sent me the pictures of it and everything. And I said, well, let me think about it a little bit. He told me what they wanted for it. And I told Olivia, and I said, now you need to pay for half of it. We'll wait till gun season. I said, well, we'll see. Now, there's one thing that I've tried my best to instill in my children, and that is to tithe and to give to missions. We've tried our best to instill that in them. And I know for a fact this week that Olivia tithed and gave to missions. I know for a fact. Now, I could
have just went out and bought it. But I didn't. I told her, I said, let's just pray about it and see what happens. Well, Rodney sent me a message. He said, here's how much the guy wants for it. And I thought, well, we're going to try to take a couple days off here in a few weeks and be gone a couple days on Madeline's fall break. And I just really don't need to spend that right now. In the back of my head, that's what I was thinking. And I went to a certain place and seen a certain individual that was completely out of characteristic for what happened. And when I started to leave, he went like this. And he said, I love you and I appreciate you. Put that in your pocket. Now, they ain't, you can tell there ain't nothing there. But they was when he was shaking my hand. He said, put that in your pocket. And he said, I want you to do whatever you want to do with it. And I said, okay. I got to the truck. I started up a road. Y'all would have done the same thing, wouldn't you? Well, I remember when we was in missions, man, we would leave a meeting, Brother Matt, and we wouldn't even get out of the church parking lot, and the light was on, and we seeing how much the church would give us, so we could figure out if we was going to eat a cheeseburger that night or if we was going to be able to go buy Bojangles and get some chicken, all right? 99-cent menu or Bojangles. I jerked it out of my pocket, and I went to counting it. It was exactly the amount that crossbow was. I came home and I told Olivia, I said, guess what? I said, the Lord just got us that crossbow and we're going to sight that thing in and we're going to go set in the woods and we're going to let you shoot a deer with it and then we're going to thank God for letting us shoot a deer with it. You said, preacher, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Running, you say, well, preacher, there ain't nothing to... Well, you be a Debbie Downer if you want to. I'm going to go on and I'm going to keep giving to God and I'm going to keep trusting God and I'm going to keep watching God bless me and I'm going to shout about it. Go a little further in our giving. Go a little further in our giving. Can I give you something and then I'll be done? Can I give you something? If you're not tithing your full 10% to God, if you're not doing that, I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you for 6 months to do that and see what happens. Just see what happens. Say, preacher, I can't afford to. You can't afford not to. Just see what happens. There's a family who was talking to Leslie and I. I would never call their name, but there was a family talking to Leslie and I about their finances. A few months went by. They talked to us again, and here's what they said. Said, we started tithing the way the Bible says to tithe. We didn't question, we just done it. And said, you would not believe what God has done for us the past 2 months. Said, it would blow your mind if we told you what God's done for us. Can I tell you something? Let's go a little bit further in our giving. Let's go a little bit further in our giving. Here's one last one. Come start playing. Everybody's ready to go home. Where can we go a little bit further? Well, I would say this. We can go a little bit further in our prayer life. We can go a little bit further in the growth of our salvation. We can go a little bit further in our separation. We can go a little bit further in our giving. But can I say this? I believe we could go a little bit further in our praising tonight. In our praising. I'm not saying that you have to stand up and go, hallelujah, praise God, amen. I'm just talking about simply being thankful. Being thankful for what God has done. I want you to think back 10 years ago where you was at and look at where you're at today. Look at what God's done. Look at how God's blessed you. Man, we sit here tonight. My wife's healthy. My three girls are sitting here, and as far as I know, they're healthy. And I think about others. I'll say this, and I believe it'll be all right. If it's not, they'll fuss at me after service. But Jordan's had a touch of pneumonia this week, and she's had a rough day today. That's where they've been at. They're not just laying out. And they're always here. If they're not here, you know something's wrong. And she's been back and forth to the doctor tomorrow. She's got to go back to the pulmonologist, if I'm saying that right. And you know what? My kids are sitting here tonight, and my kids are all right. Boy, we take a lot of things for granted in our life. Take a lot of things for granted. My dad, as far as I know, is probably, his blood pressure is probably pretty high right now because he's preaching. But other than that, my dad and mom's in pretty good health. Leslie's mom's in good health. Her dad has a few health issues, and you help us pray about that. My sister and her husband, all their youngins is in good health. Well, God's really been good to us. God's really been good to us. I got a nice vehicle I ride around in. Church bought it, paid for it, and pays for the gas in it. This week, I'm going to take it and get the oil changed, and the church pays for that. Man, the Lord's been good to me. I don't take those things for granted. I drove it to church last Sunday night. I don't know if y'all noticed it or not, but I drove it to church last Sunday night. And Leslie said, why are you going to drive your truck up to the church? I said, because I cleaned it up this week and it looks good. And I want them to know that I'm trying my best to take care of what they give me. Go down there and look inside of it. If it's dirty, it ain't going to stay dirty over a day or two. That's just the way I am. I take care of the things that the Lord's blessed me with. God has been good to us. And we ought to go just a little bit further and saying, thank you, Lord. I appreciate it. I appreciate what you've done for me. I appreciate my health. I appreciate the children that you've blessed me with. I appreciate everything that you've done for me. I've said this before and I'll say it in closing. I never knew how much I appreciated tasting something until I had COVID. Man, I'm going to tell you, when I tried to drink coffee and it tastes like swamp water, it's just nasty. I'm telling you, it's a bad day. When I went to Page's and got a pumpkin spice latte with caramel and whipped cream, and it didn't taste like nothing. I went a little further in my prayer life. I started saying, "Prayer, oh God, let me taste this one more time." I don't go to Harry's over there in Elkin where you go get coffee at. I mean, that place is nasty. It's nasty. You'll get saved one day and go to Page's. The owner of Page's goes to church, loves the Lord, helps me out and puts extra caramel in mine, praise God. But I never knew how. I'll never forget, I was sitting up there, Leslie had me stuck in the room, me and Olivia. Everybody wondered why we battled depression because Leslie shoved us upstairs. Beat on the door. It's like whenever you got leprosy, they'd throw the food at you. She's standing at the bottom of the steps and sling it up the steps. I said, no, it wasn't that bad. She did come to the top and then just throw it down. I'll never forget, a lot of people brought us food, but Matt brought us Chick-fil-A one day. I think it was Brother Matt that brought Chick-fil-A. And it was chicken nuggets and french fries. And I'll never forget eating that chicken nugget. I could taste it. I could taste chicken nuggets, french fries, and body armor. That's what I could taste when I had COVID. And son, Brother Matt, that's the best chicken I'd ever eat in my life. Lord, Mama has never... Ma Hatfield. When I was a boy growing up, Ma Hatfield made fried chicken. Just about every day, fried chicken, and she made mashed taters, and she made pintos and cornbread, and there was always a fresh pound cake and some whole milk. Somebody say amen for whole milk. Not that purple lid stuff like Miss Leslie buys. Whole milk. She likes skim milk. Now I got a dairy intolerance thing, and I drink almond milk. But thank God for the day I could drink whole milk. Ma'd make it fried chicken, and I'm telling you, my mama and Miss Leslie still gets mad at me because they couldn't nobody make that fried chicken like Ma Hatfield could, but Chick-fil-A did that day. But Brother Josh, we take those things for granted. We take them for granted. And I believe every one of us here tonight could stand to go a little bit further. Just saying thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I made some mistakes in my past, but thank you for not giving up on me. God, I made some big mistakes in my past. Now, I'm talking about me. I don't know about everybody else. God, thank you that you just didn't push me to the side, that you still had a plan for my life.